I'm VOA's Jeff Custer with this worldwide news update. U.S. President Joe Biden is in Rio de Janeiro for his final Group of 20, or G20, Summit of Industrialized Nations this week. The first meetings began Monday, and ahead of that, Biden held informal meetings with a number of world leaders. But what substantial agreements come out of the two-day summit remain to be seen. Deputy U.S. National Security Advisor John Finer spoke with reporters in Rio ahead of the first meetings and explained why the makeup of the G20 summit could make reaching an agreement on issues such as the conflict in Ukraine difficult.
The G20 is a grouping that includes both some of our closest partners and allies, as well as countries that fundamentally are U.S. adversaries. And so a communique that emerges from this forum is going to be different from what you would get in the context of a like-minded gathering. Obviously, the U.S. and our partners will be pushing for the strongest possible Ukraine language, but goes without saying Russia is a part of this grouping.
The Kremlin said Monday that any U.S. decision to allow Ukraine to fire American missiles deep into Russia would mean it was directly involved in the conflict and accused the Biden administration of escalating the war. Ukraine has been requesting permission to use U.S.-made long-range Army tactical missile systems, known as ATACMS, on targets deep in Russian territory for months. And Biden's authorization comes as Russia deploys up to 12,000 North Korean troops on the Russian border with Ukraine. British University of Bath Associate Professor of Security Patrick Bury told the Associated Press he believes the decision comes too late to have a major strategic effect on the battlefield, but he said expected use of the missile systems will most likely slow down Russian advances.
Depending on the amount of ATACMS which come in, and also the clearance from the UK and France to use the Storm Shadow and Scalps, which are air-launched, I mean, the combined effect of those could, slow things down. And I think that would be, you look at the slowing down the tempo of Russian operations over this winter.
This is VOA News. An Israeli government spokesman said Monday its military operation in Lebanon will continue as negotiations over a U.S. ceasefire proposal with Hezbollah move forward. At a Tel Aviv news conference, spokesperson David Mentzer said Israel would only be willing to accept the end of fighting under certain conditions.
The United States and other countries are leading the negotiations to return quiet to the north. But we'd be very straight with you. The military campaign will continue until the immediate threat from Lebanon is removed and our people can safely return to their homes.
The Biden administration is trying to halt the war between Israel and the Hezbollah militant group after months of sputtering ceasefire efforts. Lebanon's parliament speaker, Nabi Berri, a Hezbollah ally who is mediating for the militants, is expected to meet with U.S. envoy Amos Hochstein in the Lebanese capital Tuesday. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's latest additions to his cabinet include Federal Communications Commission senior member Brendan Carr to lead that agency and oil industry CEO Chris Wright to lead the Department of Energy. Reuters correspondent Gabe Singer reports.
Carr is currently the top Republican on the FCC, the independent agency that regulates U.S. telecommunications. He is a strong critic of China and has been an advocate of the FCC's hard line on Chinese telecom companies like Huawei. Carr is also a critic of the Biden administration's telecom policies and big tech. Over the weekend, Trump also picked Chris Wright to lead the Department of Energy. Wright is the CEO of an oil field services firm and a staunch defender of fossil fuel use. He is expected to support Trump's plan to maximize oil and gas production and to seek ways to boost electricity output amid a surge in energy demand for the first time in decades. He is also likely to share Trump's opposition to global cooperation on fighting climate change. Wright has likened efforts by Democrats to combat global warming to Soviet-style communism.
That's Reuters correspondent Gabe Singer reporting. Denmark has announced an ambitious plan to plant 1 billion trees and convert farmland into forest. Associated Press correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
The plans to convert 10% of farmland into forest and natural habitats over the next two decades in an effort to reduce fertilizer usage, officials called the agreement, the biggest change to the Danish landscape in over 100 years. The Green Tripartite Ministry has been created to implement a Green Deal reached in June among farmers, the industry, labor unions and environmental groups. Jeppe Bruus, who's in charge of the ministry, says Denmark's nature will change in a way we have not seen since the wetlands were drained in 1864. Under the agreement, just over $6 billion has been earmarked to acquire land from farmers over the next 20 years. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
That wraps up this news update, but the world and the news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website. I'm Jeff Custer, VOA News.